Today on Hardwired.
God's promises had not been for every Jew of Abrahamic descent, but they were made for those Jews who placed their faith in Messiah. Do you get it? When was Abraham declared righteous? When he believed God, when he believed God's word. By faith, when he said God can do it no matter what. And when he believed God, he was declared righteous.
You are listening to Hardwired with Pastor Jeff Wickwire, the founder and senior pastor of Turning Point Church in Fort Worth, Texas. Maybe you've noticed that our culture is pretty messed up these days, which makes people feel anxious and filled with questions. They want peace, but have a hard time finding it or making it last. Well, Pastor Jeff is going to share in the message today about how you can finally be filled with hope, security, and most importantly, that peace you're looking for. We know that you're going to enjoy the message, but you can also listen to it again or any of the messages anytime you would like at our website, hardwired.org. Let's get right to the message. Here's Pastor Jeff to tell us what's coming up today on Hardwired.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to this edition of Hardwired. As we continue in our journey through the Apostle Paul's great masterpiece, the Book of Romans, we come today to chapter 9, where the apostle will turn his attention to Israel. We're going to get a glimpse into his profound love for his own people, the Jews, and his heartbreak over their rejection of Messiah Jesus. He's also going to explain God's dealings with them in a way that will help us all to understand the depth of God's plan, not just for Israel, but for the entire world. So let's get started with part two of the message, Israel, O Israel. Now, this time we turn our attention to Israel. We're going to see that chapters 9 through 11, and this is deep stuff, are best read and reread as a single unit. 9 through 11 ought to be read as one continuum, no chapter breaks, because it's about the same thing, Israel. Okay? They begin with a lament and they end with a doxology. Now, up to now, Paul has discussed the principles of the gospel. What are they? They are the reality of man's sin, his need for salvation, and the work of sanctification that begins to take place immediately upon your being born again. Sanctification is when the Holy Spirit begins to remove you from the world, from the effect of the world, the influence of the world, the thinking of the world, the lifestyle of the world. And Romans 12, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not what to this world? Conformed to this world, but be transformed. That's the work of sanctification. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. All right? That's Romans 12, 1 to 3. Now, in the next three chapters, he discusses the problems of the gospel, particularly as these problems relate to the Jewish people. And I'm going to explain this. God had made exceeding great and precious promises to several of what we call the patriarchs and the Old Testament leaders: Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, David, Solomon. God had made incredible promises to them. So Paul is giving us a question. Did God's word fail? That he made all these promises to the Jewish people, but they rejected the promise when he showed up. Jesus encapsulated all the promises of God. They were all consummated in him. So were God's promises rendered void for the Jewish people? No. He says in verse 6, it is not as though God's word had failed. No, God's word didn't fail. The Jewish people failed, but God's word didn't fail. Amen. Although most of Israel had not believed in Jesus Christ, God's word had not failed. So how could this be? Because there was, here's the answer. How could it be then that the promises of God, though the Jewish people failed, how can it be then that God's promise had not failed? Here's the answer. There was an Israel within Israel. Okay? Follow me. Verse 7. For not all who are descended from Israel are Israel, nor because they are his descendants are they all Abraham's children. On the contrary, it is through Isaac your offspring will be reckoned. Now, let me explain this. When we see Isaac mentioned in the Bible, in the New Testament, it points to the principle of faith. Isaac had been the child of promise, and he arrived not by works, but by faith in God's promise. Are you ready? So Isaac was the child of promise who came by faith. Ishmael was the child of works that came by unbelief. Look what Romans 4, verse 18 says. We're jumping back some chapters now, all the way back to Romans 4, but let's read it again. Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed, and so he became the father of many nations, just as it had been said to him, so shall your offspring be. Why did he become the father of many nations? Because in hope he believed. Verse 19, without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was dead. All right? Reproductively, Abraham's body was dead. He was 100. Since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also, everybody say it, dead, because she was 90. This is an old couple, right? They're in the rocking chair on the front porch. It's over with. But here's where the two of them believed God no matter what they saw in the mirror. Yet, verse 20, he did not waver. Look at this. Abraham's faith is amazing. He did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God. But instead, he was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised, no matter what natural things looked like. Boy, that is great. So Abraham praised God, saying, I don't know how you're going to do it, but I believe you're going to do it. Because even though my body is reproductively dead, you're not dead. You can do anything. And he believed God. Now, God's promises had not been for every Jew of Abrahamic descent, but they were made for those Jews who placed their faith in Messiah. Do you get it? When was Abraham declared righteous? When he believed God, when he believed God's word. By faith, when he said God can do it no matter what. And when he believed God, he was declared righteous. Now, he became the prototype. That's why he's called the father of our faith. He became the spiritual template, the prototype for all the rest of us. Because how are we saved? When we believe the word of God. What's the word of God? God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. Whoever believes on him would not perish, but have everlasting life. And when we believe the word of God, we were declared righteous by faith. So Abraham was the prototype. And we're the children of Abraham in this respect, that we believed God and the blood of his son cleansed us of all unrighteousness. And we were saved not by works, but by grace through faith, by grace through faith. Paul elaborates by saying in verses 8-9, in other words, it's not the natural children who are God's children, no. But it's the children of the promise who are regarded as Abraham's offspring. Remember when the Pharisees were arguing with Jesus or trying to get him into an argument? And they said, we are sons of Abraham. And what did Jesus say to them? He said, you're the children of the devil. Jesus was not politically correct, right? He said, you're the sons of the devil. And the lusts of your father, Satan, you will do. He called Satan their father. So by that statement alone, Jesus, of course, understood more than anyone that just because they were bloodline descendants of Abraham, they were not children of Abraham just by birth. Okay? At the appointed time, I will return, God said to Abraham, and Sarah will have a son. That is what the promise to Abraham was. And that's what he believed. At the appointed time, Abraham, I will return and Sarah will have a son at the appointed time. Everybody say, God's got a timing. God's got a timing for everything, and it's an appointed time. So there is an Israel within Israel. There is the natural Israel, the bloodline descendants of Abraham, the Jewish people. But they are not going to heaven based on that. Then there is the Israel within Israel, which is those who have believed on Jesus Christ and put their faith in him and have been born again. Now that's the Israel within Israel, and that's how God's word did not fail. His promise is true. So there is natural Israel. Look at the land of Israel right now. It's filled primarily with natural Jews, right? But within them, there's a lot of Jewish people that have been born again, and that's the Israel within the Israel. Because there's spiritual Israel, those that have turned to God in faith by embracing Messiah Jesus, Yeshua HaMashiach. So God's promises to the Jew had not failed. They were fulfilled for every Jew that placed his or her faith in Yeshua, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Paul continues, not only that, but Rebekah's children, and who were they? Jacob and Esau, had one and the same father, our father Isaac. Now, he's switching gears when he says not only that. So I feel like we need to take a breather because this is heavy stuff. I want us to lift our hands and just thank the Lord. How many of you are so glad that you were born again by faith? That you are a child of Abraham, a descendant of Abraham by faith in Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. Praise your name. Praise your name. Praise your name. Praise your name. Praise your name, Lord. Say to the Lord with me, good stuff, Lord. I can take a little more. All right, here we go. Because now we're going into some heavy theological buzzwords. So follow. Not only that, now he's shifting gears, but Rebekah's children, Jacob and Esau, they had one and the same father. Their father was Isaac, right? They were twins. You remember that. Verse 11, yet before the twins were born or had done anything good or bad, in order that God's purpose in election, there's one of the buzzwords, election might stand, not by works, but by him who calls. She was told, that is, Rebekah was told, the older will serve the younger, just as it is written, Jacob I loved, but Esau I hated. Now, these very difficult passages, because these passages, folks, are what belief systems like Calvinism spring from. This is Calvinist red meat, the word election, predestination, chosen, all of that. Those are Calvinist buzzwords. One night I may preach on the difference between Calvinism and Arminianism, just so you can understand those two words, but let me move on.
Pastor Jeff will be back in a moment, but first I want to share a couple of thoughts with you. Now, you may not be able to stay with us for the entire program, but don't worry. You can find the program at our website, hardwired.org, along with all of the programs from Pastor Jeff. Also, we regularly get emails and calls from listeners just like you who tell us how much the program means to them. But we would love to hear from you too. So let me encourage you to connect with us by calling 877-884-3111 or through the website, hardwired.org. That's hardwired.org. Or call 877-884-3111. And now let's get back to Pastor Jeff with the rest of today's program.
In these difficult passages, Paul describes God's choice of Jacob over Esau. Both sons had the same father and mother, no difference there. Rebekah conceived both by Isaac, no difference there. God chose Jacob, the younger twin, rather than Esau before they were born. This was done so that the selection of God could not have been based on their doing right or wrong or any other natural factor. In other words, you couldn't look at them and go, well, the reason he chose Jacob over Esau is because Esau was wicked. And so he said, well, looking at the two boys in their, let's say in their youth, I'm going to pick Jacob over Esau because Jacob is living better than Esau. He said, no, God did it when they were still in the womb so that it would be a matter of God's total sovereign choice and not anything they earned or disqualified themselves over, all right? We see the wisdom of God as what chose Jacob and rejected Esau. We can see first that it was the wisdom of God that did it, because going back a bit, it was God's wisdom that chose Isaac and rejected Ishmael regarding Abraham. Because watch this, in both cases, the fathers, Abraham and Isaac, pleaded with God to accept the rejected one. You remember when Abraham was waiting and waiting and waiting for Sarah to conceive? And Sarah finally said to him, look, go in to my maid Hagar and have a child by her. And let's quit all this waiting on God. Let's get with it and raise a kid. So he had relations with Hagar and she gave birth to Ishmael. And do you remember Ishmael began to grow up and it says Abraham loved him. But as Ishmael was growing up and still Sarah had not conceived, they were so tired of waiting. How many understand that? And they're looking in the mirror going, we're getting older and older. Come on, God. Like some of you are doing in your life. Come on, God. Have you heard my prayer? Have you seen my situation? Come on, God. How many of you in the last year have said, come on, God? Oh, yeah. Now watch this. And then Abraham blurted out, oh, please let Ishmael suffice. Let him be the chosen one. And God said, no, 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 no. Ishmael is not the chosen one because my choice is going to come from Sarah's womb. And it's going to be the child of promise. And then remember, Isaac favored Esau over Jacob. Remember that? And he was deceived. And it's another whole story. But both patriarchs wanted the unchosen one to suffice. And God would not let it happen. Yet God's wisdom is seen in the outworking of history. From Ishmael have come the Arab nations. And what are the Arab nations? They surround Israel right now. And they are the bitter foes of Israel to this day. And for long centuries, they have been passionate embracers, not of the true God, but of Islam. And please don't tell me it's the same God in Islam as it is Christianity. It's not. They are diametrically opposed. Allah is not Jehovah, God of the Bible. But that being said, look what happened. God's wisdom chose the right one because from Ishmael came the Arab nations right now. Listen, the day is going to come when we're going to wake up one day, maybe, unless we've been raptured, and we're going to see a newscast. And the newscast is going to say, it's going to be all the headlines, and it's going to be the only thing any of them are covering, that a vast confederacy of Arab nations have descended upon Israel, attacking it to wipe it off the face of the map. Read Ezekiel 38 and Ezekiel 39. That is a yet-to-be-fulfilled Bible prophecy. And the nations that Ezekiel names are all rabidly, fully Islamic and anti-Israel right now. And many of them have said, we have one desire, that Israel is wiped off the map. That is the descendants of Esau and Ishmael. From Esau came Edom, the bitterest and most vengeful of all of Israel's ancient neighbors. As time passed, both Ishmael and Esau personally manifested hostility to the things of God, whereas Isaac and Jacob were the opposite. So with Ishmael, you have the Arab nations that hate Israel. With Esau, you have the Edomites that were terrible enemies of Israel the entirety of their existence until God finally wiped the Edomites completely out. Everybody doing okay?
Amen.
Let's continue. But God's choice of the two was also based on his sovereign will. God is under no obligation to explain his ways to man. He does what he wants. Amen? But God's choice of the two was also based on his sovereign will, not just his wisdom, but his sovereign will. So look at verse 14. What then shall we say? Is God unjust to choose Jacob over Esau? No, for he says to Moses, I'll have mercy on who I want to have mercy on, and I will have compassion on whom I have compassion. It does not, therefore, depend on man's desire or effort, but on God's mercy. For the scripture says to Pharaoh, I raise you up for this very purpose, that I might display my power in you, and that my name might be proclaimed in all the earth. Therefore, God has mercy on who he wants to have mercy, and he hardens who he wants to harden. And this is a major Calvinistic verse now, because the Calvinists say, you're either chosen by God to be saved or you're chosen by God to be lost. And if he chooses you to be saved, you're lucky, basically. You're saved by grace because he chose you. You need to thank God that he chose you. And if he didn't choose you to be saved, you can't be saved because it's all by God's choice and we have no will in the matter. And this is where, in my humble opinion, Calvinists err because this is not what he's saying here. He's talking about an event in history. It was in a slice of time, Pharaoh and Israel being delivered from Egypt. That doesn't mean you extrapolate that over the whole Bible and say that's the way that God deals with people throughout the entire Word of God. Because there's little verses like, whosoever will. Whosoever what? Will. Well, that sounds to me like you got a will. You know what you are? You're a whosoever. So am I. I'm so glad I was a whosoever. I'm so glad this whosoever willed to turn to Christ. Right? All right. Now, let me move on. God showed mercy to Moses and to Israel, but he hardened Pharaoh's heart. Now, Paul attributes both the bestowal of mercy and the hardening of Pharaoh's heart to God's sovereign will. Now, many people say, but that's not fair. But on closer inspection of the many times we're told that Pharaoh's heart was hardened, did you know most of those times are attributed to Pharaoh himself? He hardened his own heart. It's only when still resisting God, after the sixth of 10 plagues, do we read for the very first time in the Hebrew language, directly translating it from Hebrew, quote, "The Lord made firm the heart of Pharaoh." Up to then, the Hebrew reads, "Pharaoh made heavy his own heart." Amen. So you can harden your heart long enough where God will finally say, "All right, go ahead. I'm hardening your heart. You're never going to turn to me, and I know it." Now, Paul anticipates our response, and we're almost done, everybody. I know this has been a lot. I told you it was going to be heavy stuff. All right? This is T-bone medium rare. All right? Paul anticipates our response. Now, one of you will say to me, then why does God still blame us for who resists his will? How can God blame me if I'm only doing what he has chosen to make me do? Paul is saying, you, a mere man, skewed in your judgment by sin, are not wise enough to question God. Boy, talk about putting you in your place. Secondly, such a question ignores the fact that God's actions are always born of righteousness and ever tempered with mercy. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Everybody say, yes, he will. Paul asks, but who are you, oh man, to talk back to God? Shall what is formed say to him who formed it? Why did you give me this nose, these eyes, this height, this color hair, this race? Why? Why did you make me like this? But does not the potter have the right to make out of the same lump of clay some pottery for noble purposes and some for common use? As the potter is sovereign over the clay to do with it as he pleases, so is God over men. Amen. He continues, and we're almost done. What if God, choosing to show his wrath and make his power known, bore with great patience the objects of his wrath, the Egyptians in this case, prepared for destruction? What if he did this to make the riches of his glory known to the objects of his mercy, the children of Israel, whom he prepared in advance for glory, even us, who he also called, not only from the Jews, but also from the Gentiles? So Paul is concluding his whole argument by stressing the fact that the Gentiles are as much an object of God's mercy as are the Jews. The salvation of us Gentiles was never an afterthought with God. It was a forethought. The words of God predicted very clearly the ultimate blessing of God in a great Gentile revival. Look what Hosea said as we come to a close. Hosea predicted, I will call them my people who are not my people. Everybody say, that be me. Gentiles, okay? And I will call her my loved one who is not my loved one. That's us. And it will happen in the very place where it was said to them, you are not my people. They will be called sons of the living God. And that's you and me. Isaiah cries out concerning Israel. Here comes the prophet Isaiah after Hosea. Though the number of the Israelites be like the sand by the sea, only the remnant will be saved. For the Lord will carry out his sentence on earth with speed and finality. It is just as Isaiah said previously, unless the Lord Almighty had left us descendants, we would have become like Sodom. We would have been like Gomorrah. Closing out chapter 9, Romans. What then shall we say? That the Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness have obtained it, a righteousness that is by faith. But Israel, who pursued the law and righteousness by works, has not attained it. Why not? Because they pursued it not by faith, but as it were, by works. They stumbled over the stumbling stone. And that's Jesus Christ and the fact we come to him by faith, not works.
We appreciate you listening today to Hardwired with Pastor Jeff Wickwire. Every program we do has one main thing in mind, and that's to share the hope and good news of Jesus Christ to people who need to hear this message and hardwire the teaching into their daily life. That's what this ministry is all about. So if you've been encouraged by the message, we would love to hear about it. Pick up your phone and give us a call at 877-884-3111. That's 877-884-3111. Or go online to our website at hardwired.org. And be sure to bookmark the web address to your favorites folder so you can come back often. Also, would you consider getting on board with us as a faithful ministry partner? Your valuable contribution makes a big difference to us in helping to get the message of the gospel out through this program to people everywhere. Your generosity, along with this ministry, is reaching people in a way that you may never have the ability to do on your own. So jump on board as a Hardwired partner by calling us at 877-884-3111 or go online to hardwired.org, 877-884-3111 or hardwired.org. From the bottom of our hearts, thank you so very, very much. Have a great rest of the day, and thanks for listening to Hardwired.